Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body, one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray that this hour we truly might focus upon the Word of God and not upon the words of men. Holy Spirit, perform your work through the preaching of the Word of God. Illumine our hearts to truth. Guide and direct us. And may Jesus Christ be seen and praised this morning, for we pray in thy name. Amen. We've been studying in the book of Ephesians. We've come to a section of Scripture where the Apostle Paul has stressed unity in the church. There is one body. There is one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There is one hope of our calling. There is one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, and one faith, belief, the gospel, the truth of the Word of God. We come to the third point of that series in our message, in this series of messages, to one baptism. One baptism, the identification of unity. Now, as soon as you mention that term, one baptism, you immediately have to ask yourself, Paul, what are you talking about? Because when you look across the church today, there seems to be anything but one baptism. Denominational lines are drawn on this issue, which divide the body of Christ. He just got finished preaching to the church at Ephesus saying, look, guys, you guys should be one body. And yet Protestant evangelical churches are divided on this issue, to the point where we're going to form our own little group. Thank you very much. You know? So what does the Apostle Paul mean when he says this? Protestants are divided to the point, to those who hold to baptismal regeneration, which is contrary to the Word of God. To those, I mean, I think we can categorically say that here. To those who, on the basis of their profession of faith, baptize then by a mode, sprinkling, pouring, or immersion. And then immersionists are divided. You say, Pastor Dave, what are you talking about? I was baptized three times forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then after I got out of school, I said, well, what am I going to do? I'd like to do it the Baptist way. So I was baptized again. One's backwards. So I'm really all wet. I trust that's not what you think of the sermon this morning, but nonetheless. So what is one to do? Folks, the Bible does not stress mode. By that I mean sprinkling, pouring, or immersion, or how you immerse. That is not what is stressed in the Word of God, or the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself would have taken this important ordinance of the church and He would have said and declared in the Word of God, when you do it this way. And it would have solved the problem. But he didn't say that. And if Scripture does not emphasize that, then we should not come away from the Word of God with that emphasis. Are we on the same page so far? But even though I might lean a little more toward the immersionist side, please forgive me, Bev. There's no disrespect to my dear friend who sits on the second row here. So just bear with me a moment. So what are we to do with this term, one baptism? One baptism. So let's consider this morning, this issue of baptism. There was a statement by John Owen, who was a Puritan a Puritan pastor years ago, there was a Puritan pastor, a contemporary of our time. John Owen said this when he dealt with controversy. When the heart is cast indeed into the mold of the doctrine that the mind embraceth. You can see the purity is coming, embraceth. When the evidence and the necessity of the truth, get this, abides in us. When not the sense of the words only is in our heads, but the sense of the thing abides in our hearts. When we have communion with God in the doctrine we contend for, then shall we be garrisoned by the grace of God against all the assaults of men. And the key phrase there is when we have communion with God in the doctrine that we contend for, we must understand the spiritual emphasis of the term first. The spiritual emphasis of the term first. And I underscore that, highlight that, and underscore that throughout this message this morning. So first of all, I could spend several Sundays on this subject, and I'm going to try to pack it in one sermon. I should talk about John's baptism. I should talk about Christ and his baptism. There's a passage in Colossians that I'm not addressing, and the controversial one in 1 Peter 3. But time does not permit. So, like the ride in Disneyland, hold on to your hats and glasses, because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness. We're going to take off. Okay? We're going to take off. The sacrament of baptism. And immediately, when I said this one time in a church where I was pastoring, the fur just went up. You said the word sacrament. Oh, no. Well, you cannot find the word sacrament or ordinance. Well, you can find ordinance in the Word of God, but not how we are terming it. You find it in the sense of the commands of God. So you can't find this word sacrament or ordinance as we define it here, as we're going to in just a minute, in the Bible. It's an English word. And Webster Dictionary has a couple of meanings for the word sacrament. And I pick sacrament because I'm doing all S's in my outline, and now I have to explain what I mean so that you're not upset with me. But here we go. Sacrament. Webster said that it's one of the Christian rites that R-I-T-E-S, held to have been instituted by Christ and to convey God's grace to men. Here's where we differ on this issue. With using this term in this way, because baptism in no way imparts salvation, the grace of God coming to one, baptismal regeneration. Classic example to that would be thief on the cross. Today you will be with me what? In paradise. He was going to be with Christ in heaven. And guess what? Wasn't baptized. It wasn't like, wait, take me down from here, do something, or splash some water up. I mean, come on, I want to get there. You know, didn't happen. It didn't happen. So, baptism does not impart a saving grace. So when we're using the word sacrament, we do not mean that. But there's another meaning that Webster says, voila. A ceremony or act symbolizing a deep spiritual reality. And can I use the word Baptist? There is not a Baptist that would have a problem with that definition of the word sacrament. Okay? A ceremony or act symbolizing a deep spiritual reality. And so we have an ordinance in the church, baptism. Well, what do we mean by that? Simply put, an ordinance is commanded by Christ, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go, and we are to make disciples. The word make disciples is the imperative in that passage. Not optional. make disciples, an imperative. And it was a custom and practice of the early church. So the mark of discipleship is baptism. And it was practiced by the early church. And we find that all through the book of Acts. Now, if the sermon tends to be a little long, wake up. I want to tell you this. Then you can go back to sleep for a while. And when we get to Romans 6, I'll wake you back up. What happens is when we look at the word baptism, we immediately want to picture and go to mode right away. We look at the Word of God and we say, baptism, aha, it means mode. Not necessarily, no. And we're going to look at this why in just a minute. I want you to see the meaning of the word, the spiritual meaning of baptism. The spiritual meaning of baptism, point B. Spiritual meaning, the meaning of the word, first of all, baptism, to dip or to immerse. Used outside of the biblical text, it's used to describe dying. You know, take a garment, plunge it in, describe using the sinking of ships. And I was listening to a sermon one time by a former professor, and he came to this point and he said, so what? So what that that's used that way in literature outside the Word of God? And he's right. What determines biblical meaning? Come on, folks. What determines biblical meaning? Scripture and what? Context. Thank you. Come on. I taught you that. Scriptural meaning and context. And every time you look at the word of baptism, you should not immediately jump into this mode or into the idea of mode and immediately have the concept of water. And we're going to look at the Word of God, some obvious passage of Scripture where there is no water at all. It is impossible. It makes no sense for it to mean water. And it can't mean water. Okay? All right. Number one. Passages with an obvious... Every time the word is used and mentioned in Scripture, it does not mean water baptism. And so we're going to look at passages with an obvious meaning that there is no reference to water whatsoever. First one, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here are the apostles writing to the church in Corinth. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. You're going, huh? Did Moses somehow split apart? And all the people kind of went in some kind of sci-fi movie. No. What does that mean to be baptized into Moses? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Let's look at our Bibles in Exodus chapter 14. We'll find out what happened. You say, well, in the cloud, aha, and in the sea. Wrong. Pharaoh's army was baptized. Joke. Yeah. No, but that's not what the text says. Exodus chapter 14. The Israel has left the land of Egypt. And in verse 13 of that chapter, but Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me then? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As for you, Moses, lift up your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. As for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen. Verse 19, then the angel of the Lord, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and then stood behind them. Stood behind them. Thus the one did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Who's stretching out the hand? Who's God working through? Moses. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by the strong east wind all night, and turned the sea into dry land. So the waters were divided, and the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen went in after them into the midst of the sea. At the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. He caused the chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots, and over their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak, while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned, covered the chariots and the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them remained. When you read this passage of Scripture, when it says that they were baptized into Moses, understand this, please, that there was a spiritual union and identification with Him, that everything that the Lord did through Moses had an effect upon them. Moses lifts up his hand, sea parts, cloud that night goes back behind them. They go across. Pharaoh's army comes back again. Moses goes, water comes back crashing upon the sea. God worked through Moses. And as God worked through Moses, everything, it means when they were baptized into Moses, it's not talking about water. It can't. It makes no sense. And don't go, well, there was the cloud. Maybe it was kind of like the smoke that we have out here today, you know, the past week. It's among us. No, don't make Scripture say something it doesn't. But do you understand that it's not water, but it was that union and identification with the accomplishment of what the Lord did through Moses? Okay? Not a drop of water. It's not there. So what have we established so far? Every time you see the word baptized in the Word of God, you shall not immediately jump to, aha, mode of baptism. Wrong. Okay? We're on the same page? Shake your head. I'm faithful to that passage in Corinthians? I hope so. All right. It's my job. Next, another passage. This one's real. I love this. This one's really cool. Luke chapter 12. Christ Himself used it. Luke chapter 12, verse 50. Christ is speaking. Luke chapter 12, verse 50. And He says this. He's talking about the end times. And He's saying, yeah, all this stuff is going to be happening during, you know, the end times. And He backtracks and He says, this is all paraphrase, of course. But wait a minute. Hold your horses a second. In verse 50, I have a baptism. The word is to undergo. I got to catch up with my PowerPoint because I've been just preaching. I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. The word translated in your NIV and in the New American Standard, undergo, guess what? It's the Greek verb to baptize. So it's mentioned twice in the verse. As a noun, I have a baptism to be baptized with. Bible scholars, I have a question. At the time that Christ said this, had he already been baptized by John the Baptist? Yes. Well, what does that mean then? If he had already been baptized by John the Baptist and Christ is saying, I have a baptism to be baptized with. No water, I submit to you. Not a drop of water in that sentence. It is not there. Nada. Nothing. No. What does he mean? Christ is talking about the end times. He backtracks and he says, you know what? But I have a greater accomplishment to have. Well, that needs to happen. What was that, folks? Look at the end. I have a greater accomplishment that I'm in. What could that possibly be? I heard it. The cross. Sidebar. Perhaps pouring here, Ben. The Lord Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross of Calvary. And God immerses him in the sins of the world. Totally. Made sin for us. And he hung there on the tree. I gotta go. There is a baptism. There is going to be a union. I use that word cautiously in reference to this. The sins of the world placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I have a baptism to be baptized with. No water. No water. Next one. One other thing that we have, and some of you can probably guess this one. There's another baptism in Scripture where it obviously cannot mean water. The baptism of wildfire. Aha! The Holy Spirit. I can't cover it all, the fire, but sorry. I had to pick and choose. But you know that when the Bible speaks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it cannot mean water. It just can't. It makes no sense. And without opening up the Pentecostal can of worms, all four Gospels indicate that, first of all, Christ would baptize, that Christ would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Acts is a book of transition. The Holy Spirit comes to believers after Christ's ascension. So understand this, please. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So what you had was people who in that time of transition in the book of Acts were believers. Okay, let's talk about, let's say there's an individual who came and said, who repented and baptized with the baptism of John. Immersed. You know, I'm joking. Don't get so upset. Baptized with the baptism of John, a sign of repentance. Okay. And suddenly, before Pentecost, before Acts chapter 2 happens, they have a massive heart attack and die. Where will they go? It's not hard. I just heard heaven. Where would they go? Heaven with the Lord. But there's one thing they haven't gotten yet. Because Acts is a book of transition. They haven't received the Holy Spirit. Union. How about that? You starting to see a picture of this word that maybe you haven't seen before? To plunge, to dye. Garment goes in, comes out, different color. Hmm? Baptism of a ship, it sinks. That's just immersion one way. Guess what? Takes on the property of a sunken ship. Hmm? Jesus Christ hanging on the cross of Calvary, sins of the whole world, baptism. United with Moses and the accomplishment of that and what he accomplished. I am joined with him, speaking of Israel. I pass through on dry land. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now we get to Romans chapter 6, so you can wake up now. You got the definition of the word. Romans chapter 6. This, folks, and when I tell this to a Baptist, they kind of look at me like with a deer caught in the headlights. Huh? There is not a drop of water in Romans chapter 6. Just as there is not a drop of water in Luke chapter 12, I think we looked at it, and I'm speaking about, and I got to remember what I said. The Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Luke chapter 12, verse 50. Just as in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not a drop of water. Baptized into Moses, not a drop of water. Folks, you've got to understand the spiritual significance of this passage first. Paul did not pen these words so Baptists would know how to baptize. Or even we would know how to baptize. Oh yeah, there's going to be that controversy in the days ahead. I better write this. That is not highlight it, exclamate, bold print, increase your font 20 times. That is not why Romans chapter 6 is in the Word of God. What determines meaning? Lest I be making this up. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? What kind of question is that? This is this thinking that I can just sin Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday and Saturday and somehow come to church and then get this blessing and it be all washed away. And it doesn't matter all the rest of the week. Because what? The grace of God is so good. When he says, yeah, you understand the grace of God, but that, folks, is not a license to live like the devil. That's what this is talking about. So get this. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? Verse 2, may it never be. What are you talking about? May it never be. How shall we who are dead to sin live in it? Now, if that's the first time you read that sentence, dead to sin, what would you be doing right now? Dead to sin, what does that mean? Are you with me? What does that mean, dead to sin? Paul says, I'll answer your question. Do you not know? This is something that you should get. You should comprehend this. This is something you should understand. Do you not know that all of us who have been, there's the word, what's the word? Baptized into Jesus Christ have been what? baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through what? Baptism into death. Three times, baptism into death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Now, lest you say, Pastor Dave, you are making this all up about being baptized into Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Continue reading the Word of God. Verse 5. For if he just made a statement of what has been spiritually accomplished, which I'm going to explain to you in just a minute. For if he's saying, all right, I've laid the groundwork. If this is so, well, what was so? What I just talked about. Well, what did you just talk about? For if we have become, what's the word? United. United. If we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross of Calvary, it was like I was spiritually there? And that Adamic nature died. Died with the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually. And the Apostle Paul says, and you want to go around living in sin? Don't you get it? Jesus Christ died. He was buried. He was raised to give you new life. We will be also in the likeness of His resurrection because we're spiritually united with Him. Everything that Jesus Christ has, we have. Oh, I get it now. Moses, everything he didn't accomplish, guess what? Transferred to Israel, baptized into Moses. Oh my goodness. Everything that Christ has. And what happens is, this is what happens. When a Baptist looks at this verse, and I mean no disrespect, because I was one, or am still, I don't know what you want to call it. And you look at this passage of Scripture, you go, yeah, but that's there so I can go, you know, okay, baptized, buried, back, and raised, walk newness of life. Yeah, okay, I see it. That's like coming over to the United States of the flag here, the United States of America, opening up and pointing to one of the stars and go, California! Pretty cool, huh? And you're going, no! Why is there a star here? For well, 50 stars, because they're what? 50 states. There is a reality. And you have to understand the spiritual reality of Romans chapter 6 first. That's what it means. Paul did not pen that so you go, well, you got to figure, I got to baptize some way. All right, Romans chapter 6. No. No. So, the spiritual meaning of baptism, Romans chapter 6. Not a drop of water there. Romans chapter 6 is not written so that you could know how to baptize. But understand this, please. You might say, well, I did all this stuff here. The mode of baptism. So why? And this would be, this is now, you have the Word of God teaching the spiritual reality, the inspiration of Scripture. Underscore that, exclamation point, highlight that, that's the meaning. And when you get out to mode, you're like several steps removed from the Word of God to really, you know, cause battle lines over that one. You just are. But what are you going to do? Flip a coin? You can go to YouTube. I think it's Baptism Gone Bad. My father-in-law had sent me it. And there's this guy. He's in the pastor. He's in the baptismal. It was way back when it was on American Funniest Home Videos. And, you know, there's the one candidate. He's being baptized, comes out, he leaves in. Pastor's standing there getting ready for the next one to come in. Kid comes running, cannonball, right in the baptismal. Water's going everywhere. Pastor's standing there just dumbfounded. Picks up his Bible that he had on the ledge in front of the glass, all dripping with water. Says, in 25 years of ministry, this has never happened. And he said, and it will never happen again. Was he baptized? He was dipped. The only problem is they didn't say in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I mean, but so why do we do it that way? Because, and this is what this would be a common point, I think, if I remember the article you gave me, Beb, on the pouring. But it is a picture of regeneration. When you get a hold of Romans chapter 6 in that picture first, that's what's emphasized. And to be buried with Him and raised to walk in newness of life, tremendous picture. So the mode of baptism, the meaning of the word, remember, the mode of baptism, meaning of the word, and the illustration of regeneration. But then we say, who should be baptized? Well, let's look at the subjects of baptism, Acts chapter 19. Who we're talking about? We're talking about Ephesus here in Ephesians. So we go back to Acts. Really neat passage. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country. He came to Ephesus, found some of the disciples. And this, you have to remember, they didn't have internet. You know, how did you communicate in that day? You know, it was pretty hard. It wasn't that fast. No email, no television, no radio, no telephones. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" This has got to be a class. Can you imagine the look on Paul's face? And they said, "Well, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." What's that? Oh man, Paul. What do I got? A lot of work to do here. He said to them, "Well, into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Well, into John's baptism. You know, we did that thing. Where were the Old Testament saints? There was John the Baptist. He was baptizing. We had that baptism." Paul said, they were what? Believers. Okay, remember we said they suddenly died, massive heart attack before Pentecost. Where would they go? Heaven. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in Him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. He said, you know what? You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Baptism was a mark of discipleship in the church. It's not that it somehow is mystical in the sense of imparting some kind of grace. But Paul says, you know what? You need to let everybody know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ and you must be baptized in His name. Go ye therefore and teach all nations what? Baptizing. Baptism was the outward sign and mark of entrance into the body of Christ. Nowhere in the Word of God do you find this concept of just walking around believing and then being in the body. It just was not in existence. The exception to the rule is thief on the cross. Not necessary for regeneration, not necessary for heaven, but you know what? If you want to let the rubber meet the road, and you want to be a follower of him, guess what? Doesn't matter you've been baptized by John. You need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And what you find in the New Testament everywhere through the book of Acts is salvation by faith and grace alone, salvation, baptism. It was so closely linked together. Not that it imparted grace, but you just wouldn't think it would, you wouldn't think of being on a football team and going out there without your uniform on. You say, yeah, but I signed on the dotted line. I'm a player. They're paying me. Well, put the uniform on, dude. Wear your uniform. The public declaration. You know what? I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to be baptized. And let everybody know about it. And it wasn't optional. And so, believers, the subjects of those who should be baptized are people who believe. A follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, verse 19, verse 5, they were rebaptized in the name of Christ, following the command, a command of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. So it is necessary for a true follower of Christ. Only those who accepted Christ as Savior. Not optional in the New Testament. And so, in summary, right, instead of saying maybe the significance of baptism, in summary this morning, commanded by Christ, Matthew 28, not optional for the believer in the New Testament church. It was an outward sign of inward regeneration. And now I will admittedly, as I've said before this morning, in this next point, be two or three steps removed from inspiration of Scripture. Meaning of the word, why do we do it that way? Immersion pictures our regeneration. You can kick me afterwards, Ben, if you want. Okay. But get a hold of the meaning. Get a hold of the spiritual meaning of the word first. And when you do that, then you can go back and hear what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Ephesus. And he said what? One, baptism. The identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning you need to first of all examine your heart to see whether or not you are truly a believer. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you been spiritually united with Him? You say, Pastor Dave, how does that happen? Well, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, say, you know what? I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I need to go to the cross and claim that everything that Christ did is mine. Recognize, repent of your sins, recognize your need. If you're here this morning, maybe, and I don't know, you need to be baptized. Go before the Lord. Do business with Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Help us to live the Word of God out. For we pray it in Thy name. Amen.